Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. A few years ago, at a garage sale, I bought a Vitamix blender. And this thing really works. What you're supposed to do, you put the veggies and the water in, you put the top on, you push the veggies into the blades, and it really works well. Well, one day I wasn't thinking, and I forgot to put the top on. I just went, and it made a huge noise. I thought, I've killed my Vitamix. You know what my problem was? I was not following the manufacturer's instruction. Here's my point. God made the family. God manufactured the family, and behold, it was very good. Everything God made, and behold, it was very good. So the family's a great thing. But then Adam and Eve got into sin. It messed them up. It messed their kids up. Cain kills Abel, and every family has been dysfunctional ever since. What I want us to do today is look at the manufacturer's instructions for your family. How does God say your family will work the best? Let's take out our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at the manufacturer's instructions on how He wants your family to work. Let's pray first. God the Father, we pray for anyone watching this show, whether they're married, divorced, single, widowed, that You will show them what Your plan is for them in their life right now. And Lord, we're all dysfunctional, we're all sinful, but You do give us a good set of instructions on how to have a blessed family. So speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes the ancient church in Ephesus. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The first instruction for your family is, wives, be subject to your husbands. And if you believe that in this day and age, congratulations. It shows that you're following the Word and not the world. Because the world today says, there's no difference between male and female. And I believe men and women are equal before God, but we're different. Vive la différence, as the French say. And men and women have different roles and functions in the family. The wife is to be submissive to her husband. I remember once I was preaching this at the church I served, and maybe she was 55 years old, and a lady, and I'm shaking hands at the door, a lady comes out, grabs my hand, Pastor Brock, that's the most miserable sermon I've ever heard in my life. And I thought, I bet she's not very easy to live with. First, wives, be subject to your husbands. Second is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. The next instruction here, husbands are the head of the wife. And again, congratulations if you still believe that. The reason a lot of marriages don't work is people don't believe this anymore. But it is also true that in 5, in 1 Timothy 5:14, Paul says, wives, manage your own household well. So the wife is to manage the house, but the husband is to be the head. I remember when I was a kid, my dad had a plaque that hung in the kitchen. The opinions expressed by the husband of this house are not necessarily those of the management. So, yeah, but the husband is supposed to be the head of the family, and the wife is to manage her family, according to 1 Timothy 5:14, verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. Now, let's look at those words, in everything. What if your husband asks you to sin? I remember a professor of mine at my Christian college. He was lecturing and he said, you know, there's a famous football player, I won't tell you his name, but his wife came to me for counseling, and her husband wants her to have sex with another man so the husband can watch. And the wife says, do I have to submit to that? And Dr. Bob said, no, you don't. There are exceptions. In Acts chapter 5, the authorities say, Peter and the apostles, you can't preach Christ anymore. And they said, well, we got to obey God rather than man. So there are exceptions. Having said that, it's also true. Not everything, wives, that your husbands want you to do that you don't want to do is sin. All right. Now and then, I have done premarital counseling. And here's an engaged couple. And I put these verses before them. And the young woman can kind of get, well, Pastor Brock, why do I have the hard part? And I say, look at the next verse. Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's the next instruction. Husbands, love your wives. I think the husbands have the hard part. They're supposed to sacrifice and give themselves up like Christ did for the church. So husbands, do you do that? Do you give things up for your wife? Do you sacrifice yourself for her? Years ago, a pastor and his wife gave a marriage seminar. It was really good. But the one line I remember is this. A husband needs to feel admired. A wife needs to feel cherished. That really makes sense to me. A husband needs to feel admired. A wife needs to feel cherished. And I remember a pastor's wife said to me once, you know, I just wish once I felt I came before his job. I think the way you show your wife that you cherish her is you give things up for her. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to sacrifice yourself like Christ did for the church. Let's look at verse 31. Skip ahead to this. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cling to his wife. The next instruction is, husbands, leave your parents. The problem in some marriages is that the husband hasn't left his parents. Well, I wish you'd cook it like my mom made it. And my mom used to do laundry this way. That's a good way to drive your wife crazy. You don't have to say any of that. You are to leave your parents and cling to your spouse. I thought of Grandma Brock. Now and then, Grandma Brock would come and stay with us. And she kind of had a way of very subtly showing my mom that she didn't like the way my mom ran the house. And I felt bad for my mom. So husbands, you know, honey, I love you, but you don't make good food. You don't need to say that. Leave your spouse and cling to each other. And let's look at verse 31 again. And the two shall become one flesh. That's the next part of the instruction. The two are one. When you get married, you're one with your spouse. That's why Jesus preached against divorce, because you're one spouse even till death. And look at verse 6 now, verse 1. Let's skip ahead to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's the next way marriage works. Children, obey parents. Why should kids obey their family? Because of the next verse, Ephesians 6, 2. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. Here's why you obey your parents. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings a curse. I mean, there are, again, exceptions, but overwhelmingly, kids who obey their parents tend to live longer, and kids who disobey their parents get messed up. And now let's look at verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here's the next instruction. Fathers, bring up your children in the Lord. In this verse, it doesn't say mothers do it. It says fathers do it. Dad, that's your job. I mean, I've shared this before, but I was raised in Omaha. My dad was Catholic. My mom was Lutheran. Dad went to Catholic church every Sunday. Mom took us kids to the Lutheran church every Sunday. Then we'd all come home and rarely talk about God. If we did have devotions, Mom did it. I never had one deep talk with my dad about God in my whole life. And Dad, according to this verse, you're the one who needs to pray with your kids. You need to read the Bible with your kids. You need to be in church with your kids every week. You're the spiritual leader of the house. And okay, if Dad won't do it, Mom, you do it. But Dad, you should be the one having good, deep talks with your children or your grandchildren about the Lord. I'll tell you, I thought of this. I had an Aunt Dorothy, a Christian woman. She was a Missouri Synod, conservative Lutheran. Knew the Lord, I believe, but she had a terminal disease. So I went out to visit Aunt Dorothy in Virginia, stayed overnight with her. And we had the most wonderful talk about Christ, the forgiveness of sins, heaven. It was just a wonderful time. And she said at the end of the talk, Tommy, have you ever had a talk like this? And I felt bad because I've had lots of talks like that. But I got the feeling for Aunt Dorothy, this was the first one. Listen, Dad, have good deep talks with your kids. You go to church with them. You lead the family. Fathers, bring up your children in admonition of the Lord. Now, you might say, but I don't even have a father in my house. I'm an unmarried mother, or I'm a single parent, and it's pretty dysfunctional. We have a dad in the house, and what a mess he is. Well, I want to say this. Some of you are doing amazingly well, given what you've had to go through in life. I remember there was a woman in my church. She lived to be 91, loved the Lord, was in church a lot, serving the Lord in different capacities. But one day she said, Tom, I want to tell you about my childhood. It was a horror story. She was taken away from her parents. She was raised by an evil aunt and uncle. It was horrible. But she was a gem. So if you're in a dysfunctional family, and we all are, there's hope. You can have a functional relationship with God even when everything else is falling apart. The next thing I want to say, and this is out of 1 Corinthians 7 regarding the family, singleness is a blessing too. You know, read 1 Corinthians 7. If you're single, you've got more energy and time to serve the Lord. So you don't have to get married. You can serve the Lord as a single person. The other thing it says in 1 Corinthians 7, Christians marry Christians. If you come to me to do a wedding and you want to marry an unbeliever, or as a Christian you want to marry a Buddhist, or I can't do it. Christians marry Christians, according to 1 Corinthians 7. And one more thought. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul gives advice for the unequally yoked, which means one of you is a believer and one of you is not. Well, what do you do if you've already married an unbeliever? Should I divorce? No. And Paul says, if your unbelieving spouse will stay with you in that marriage, you stay with them. You don't get divorced. All right. That is what the Bible teaches about marriage. I'm going to say it again. You don't want to wreck your family. You want to follow the manufacturer's instructions. And how do we do that? How do we have the best family? Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives and give yourself up for them. Dad, you be the spiritual leader of your home. And if there's no dad or an unbelieving dad, then Mom, you step in. But it's best if Dad leads the family. And remember, singleness is a blessing. And If you're a Christian, you marry a Christian. And if you're already married to an unbeliever, stay married, because Jesus said the two are one. And the Bible says God hates divorce. That is the way you have a healthy family. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today. My boyfriend and I are getting married. He is not a Christian yet, but I believe when we marry, I can influence him in that direction. Your thoughts?
I think that's a really bad idea. It's called missionary dating, or I'm going to marry him, and he told me he'd be coming to church with me. You want somebody who's going to be going to church, even if you're not married to them. You want a solid believer. And I mean, I can introduce you to a lady I know who married her non-Christian boyfriend, and boy, it's been a bumpy marriage. So, you know, you can disobey God on this, but then you get what you get. So make sure he's a solid believer, and don't expect that maybe I'll convert him after we marry. No, don't do that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why did God allow men in the Old Testament to have more than one wife?
Yeah, Solomon had what? 800 wives, something? Well, God allowed it. It never says God liked it, because the original intent in Genesis is one man, one woman. Did David and Solomon and other people sin and have many wives? Yeah, and look at the stories. Mm-hmm. Solomon got into idolatry because of all of his wives. So multiple wives do not bode well in the Old Testament. Yeah.
Okay. Any advice on how to have devotions with your kids?
Yeah. You know, again, we were just preaching on the importance of doing that. Go to a Christian bookstore or go online and look for a comic book Bible. When I was a kid, I loved comic books. Mm-hmm. They've got whole big, thick Bibles now, and they're all like comic books. You know, the story of Adam and Eve, the story of the flood, the story of David. And, you know, if you can read, you can have devotions with your kids. So if you have children, get the storybook Bible. I think read the Bible at the table before you eat or after you eat. But I think parents who have Bible time with their kids are just doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Nobody knows what Jesus really looked like, so is it okay to have a picture of Jesus hanging in my house?
Some Christians think, and I don't agree, that the commandment, the first commandment, you shall not have a graven image, means you can't have a picture of Jesus in your house. No, they're talking about making a golden calf. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay to have a picture of Jesus. And Mona, when I was a kid, my mom and dad had a picture of Jesus at the top of the stairs. So for years, every night as I went to bed, I looked Jesus in the eye. Now, I have no idea whatever happened to that picture, but I was at a garage sale, and here it is.
And you
now,
found it.
Now, this is not the exact picture, but it is the exact picture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is not the original. But it's same frame, same picture. So you know what I did? I bought it for a couple bucks at a garage sale. I put it at the top of my stairs. So now, as an old adult, I look at Jesus when I go to bed. Now, did Jesus look like this? Probably not. But that's not the point. It's just kind of a reminder that he's there.
That he's there, yeah. Watching you.
That's right.
My husband is an antagonistic to my Christian faith. Can I divorce him?
Well, again, read 1 Corinthians 7. Paul says, if your unbelieving spouse consents to live with you, then you stay together in that marriage. If he insists on breaking up the marriage, well, then you're free to leave. But if he'll live with you, you live with him.
Okay. My church has started to perform homosexual marriages. Should I leave my church?
Yes. If your church has gone so far off the rails as they're going to affirm a behavior that God says will keep people out of heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, I'd get out of that church. Yeah. It's tragic. This is happening in many denominations, and it's tragic.
It is, yeah. Isn't it? Why would God be against a loving gay marriage?
Because if you read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, like we just did, the Christ and the church is mirrored in a man and a woman in a marriage. You can't have that with two men. And it's not the way God invented the family. You know, the old saying, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And God made us male and female. So, no, if you have same-sex attraction, many people do, you live a celibate life and you follow the Lord and you serve him that way. But you don't find somebody of your own sex and have sex. It's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. My first husband was abusive, and I am now married to a wonderful second husband. But I heard you say on TV that this is wrong. But doesn't God want us to be happy?
God wants us to be happy. He wants us also to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, if you get divorced and marry somebody new, you are committing adultery. And he said, if you marry somebody who's been divorced, you are committing adultery. That's rather heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people, if you're divorced, again, live a celibate, single life. If your prior spouse wants to reconcile, that's a possibility. But you can't go find somebody new. And I know a lot of people have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'd ask for God's forgiveness and stay in the new marriage. But again, you get what you get. The divorce rate for second marriages is very high. So I encourage people, follow Jesus, obey Jesus. If you're divorced, stay single or get reconciled to your spouse. That's the only two options in 1 Corinthians 7. Read 1 Corinthians 7 on that.
Okay. Do you have a recommendation for a Lutheran church for us to attend in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
You know, I get this from people because now we're on around the country,
mm-hmm.
and so I won't. And I'll tell you, I'm a Lutheran. I like the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. I really like something called the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, AFLC. So I said to this person, look in Google AFLC Lutheran churches in my area or Missouri Synod Lutheran churches in my area. The one you stay away from is the big liberal one, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, because it's not evangelical. But the other branches of Lutheran, Wisconsin, the Word Alone Lutheran group, they ordain women, which I don't believe in. But other than that, they're good. And so if you're a Presbyterian, beware of the PCUSA Presbyterians. But the Presbyterian Church in America is a wonderful group.
Hmm.
So there are good options out there.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Is it a sin to be angry at God?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you read some of the Psalms, David and the psalmist could get, God, what are you doing up there?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the prophets, too. And my point is, God knows you're angry anyway. You might as well talk to him about it rather than giving him the cold shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
If you're angry at God, talk to him about it. Get counsel if you need it. I don't think it's good to stay angry at God. But, you know, God, why did you take my 5-year-old daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? God understands this, and talk to him about it. Yeah.
Yes, he does. My congregation is indeed strained from the Bible, but I am staying to try to make a difference and turn it around. Your thoughts?
I stayed within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America for many years trying to turn it around, and we never got anywhere. Now, that's not to say you can't, but once a church denies the Bible's formula for marriage and
mm-hmm.
ordains practicing homosexuals and does gay weddings, you're not going to turn that thing around. I'd get out and I'd find a better denomination.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard what you said about abortion, but what is your biblical point on prenatal care? Once the child is born, who pays for the hospital bills? Can we not have legislation against men who pregnate unmarried women? Who loves our foster and orphan children?
Well, you know, this question almost sounded like, well, because these kids might have problems once they're born, let's kill them
mm-hmm.
in the womb. That's the quick and easy answer. It's not quick and easy. You're killing a human being. And there's lots of people who are loving foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did you say before the camera rolled? That you and your husband
help support orphans in Uganda.
Yeah, yeah, and there are lots of American Christians
mm-hmm.
that are doing it. So you can always find a reason to kill maybe the child will be abused when they're born. Okay, so let's kill them in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But think of all the people that are the product of rape, and
mm-hmm.
the mother decided to have the child,
mm-hmm.
and they're having a good life. Let's not kill people because we think they might have problems.
There is no justification
to
kill a child.
No, there is not.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a church having you sign a sheet of paper that you would not talk bad about the church?
Yeah, a lady wrote that in, and I'm wondering if she's maybe got a gossip problem and they did this to her. And I've never heard of a church doing that, mm-hmm. but I have heard of churches doing church discipline where someone causes so mm-hmm. much trouble that the pastors say, look, you need to repent of that or you need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We have not had communion since Easter. What do you think of that?
Some churches have communion every week. I love that. Mm-hmm. I need that. Some churches have it once a month. Some churches, and Presbyterian churches, used to have church only two or three times a year because they wanted to make sure you were being really reverent about it. Well, I need communion regularly. It's the way God assures me my sins are forgiven. So I think regular communion is a real good idea, at least monthly, better yet, weekly. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Totally agree. What do you think about Zumba dancing in the church?
I barely know what that is. It's a form of exercise where you dance.
Yeah.
I guess in the basement. For some reason, part of me doesn't like it being done in the sanctuary, but I can't even say that. You know, if people are doing exercises in the church, that's not a sin. I personally would put it in the basement, not up by the altar, but I can't even say that's wrong. So
okay.
Pray and do what you think.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think about the pastors on staff counting money and knowing who gives the most money?
Yeah. I was at Hope Lutheran Church for 28 years. I never once looked to see who gave what. Mm-hmm. So I never knew, I still don't know to this day, who the good givers are at the church I served. And I like that. I don't want to be real nice to somebody because they give a lot of money. And so to protect myself from showing favoritism, I just didn't look at the books. Mm-hmm. And it served me well. I was able to like everybody. I don't want to get mad at people who aren't giving, because I probably would. Mm-hmm. You know? So there you go.
Okay. How was it that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit before he was saved in his mother's womb?
Yeah. It does say little John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. Elizabeth walks in the room, and there's Mary, and little unborn Jesus is in the womb of Mary. And it says John the Baptist leapt.
Mm-hmm.
He leapt for joy. I mean, he was filled, it says of John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So even an unborn baby can have the Holy Spirit. So this is one reason I, as a pastor, I'm a Lutheran. Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, we baptize babies because we believe God can give the Holy Spirit even to a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good answer. How do I explain the authenticity of the Bible to Muslims? They all repeat the same thing. Your Bible is corrupted.
Let's just take the New Testament. We don't have time. Well, read a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Google the words Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. He'll explain all the early copies we have of the New Testament. It has not been corrupted through the years.
No.
That's just not accurate.
No.
Here you go.
Thanks for joining us today on the Pastor's Study. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Stay in prayer and faith. See you next time on the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.